When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 246th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with the proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwoods. I am the host of this lovely show, holding things down in the States. Meanwhile, off across the pond, we have my good buddy, my good friend, my co-host, my cohort, my partner of this show, who is now in the UK as we speak, ready for AEW All in London, taking place this weekend. We have Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how have you been? How are you doing over there?
The word of the day to steal a line from Mark Briscoe is dedication. I am in another country. What is it, 5 hours ahead of you?
Five hours ahead of you
in the hotel room with my lovely wife, recording this show. And I had this thought yesterday. The road to All In actually goes through me. Because yes, once I go through All In, I would have been at Collision, Dynamite, Rampage, and Collision, all leading up to All In. I've done my own personal road to All In here in London, having a great time. Man, I love traveling. I especially love that I get to, this is my first international trip with my wife. We've been together almost 10 years, and we had never really taken a trip on a plane together, so this is awesome. Love it. But I am so happy All In's in Texas next year. I'm so happy. I'm going to drive 3 hours next year. Yeah, so this has been a fun weekend. Dude, it was crazy. I ran into some people. And, you know, at the show that follow me on Twitter. And I was like, what? And like, so people, you know, people in Europe ran into on Instagram at WrestleMobs. If you go to Dax's Instagram, he actually posted a video of FTR's entrance. I would have recorded it, but, you know, I was super into FTR's entrance at that point. But yeah, it is crazy. I'm having a good time. I can't believe this life I get to live. I always say I always feel fortunate. I don't like the word lucky. I always feel fortunate that things have lined up in my life so I am able to do this every day. So, I mean, do this every year and whatever. It's like, so yeah, been having a great time. Dude, I cannot gush enough about Cardiff. I only spent 12 hours there, but I was ready to move. I was ready to move there.
Dude,
no,
I mean, dude, well,
Dude,
I'm so jealous of you right now that you're living, because I love UK culture. I love that world that I've never been able to go visit, and you being there kills me because I wish I was there, honestly.
Well, we got a plan on getting you here 2026, but let me tell you, London is, I will tell anybody, London is San Francisco in the U.S. Like, it's a beautiful city, a lot of people, but it is fucking busy. Everybody's in a hurry, and everything costs money.
Mm-hmm.
Stark contrast with just Cardiff. Everybody seemed like they were relaxed, chill. No one was in a hurry. Everyone was nice. I was like, dude, it felt like, you know, I felt like I was in alternate Oklahoma City. I was like,
there you go.
I felt like very comfortable, like immediately there. I was like, oh, I can fuck with this place. So I think at one point in me and Crystal's travels, we're going to spend a little more time in Wales, because that was I loved Wales.
If you go to Ireland, I'm actually going to kill you. Like, I want to go to Ireland super freaking bad. So if you go there too, like, I'm done with you. I'm straight done with you.
So I was just telling you before we started recording, I met this guy at WrestleMobs on Instagram. And he is from Dublin, and he was telling us, like, you like it here. You love Ireland. And, like, he was trying to sell us on going. I was like, you're on the list. You don't have to sell me on going to Ireland. I definitely want to do Ireland before all said and done. Actually, I even told him I was going to do Ireland, but then I told him how much the tickets cost. I was like, dude, like, the tickets for the state game was just ridiculous. And you know how ridiculous a ticket has to be for me to say, I'm going to say it's like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
It's like four rows from the top with £750 per ticket, which if you know the conversion rate, that's between $850 and $1,000 per ticket to sit four rows from the top. And people are like, man, I was like, this is probably a hot ticket. It's like, it's not a hot ticket. They're getting fleeced. Like, that's what's happening. They're in the country. This is something they don't get, so they're taking advantage of it. So I hope everyone that goes to the game enjoys it. I will be watching it from the comfort of my hotel with my hand on my wife's butt. That's how it rolls. You know, that's how I'm going to roll. So that's how we're going to do it.
Well, on that note, we have a lot to get to, obviously. We have AEW All In taking place this weekend. We had Dynamite, the first ever Dynamite in Cardiff, Wales, which was electric. I do have something I have to mention from Collision this past week, too. And then we'll do our preview of All In London, going through our predictions, and then we'll just go ahead and talk about Floyd's time as well that he spent in the UK for AEW. Before we get into everything, though, guys, we hope you continue to download this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you choose to do. Turn automatic downloads on and share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps out the show tremendously. And follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. And you can check out all the other incredible shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Of course, the big news of the week is AEW All In London, which is happening this weekend. In place of the big news of the week, though, I would think this is a good point, because today, as we're recording this, the AEW All In media call, I believe, just wrapped up. It just started an hour ago. I believe it wrapped up. So Tony Khan was talking for the AEW All In media call. I would want to go through actually some of the points real quick, and Floyd, you can stop me if there's any that you want to really key in on.
Dude, there's one big one that I'm interested in talking about, so let's get to it.
Okay, first thing he said right out of the gate, Tony Khan confirmed that they are interested in running shows in Australia and are weighing out multiple locations that could be for a possible 2025 show.
Yes, I will have a tear in my eye, because I have just done preliminary looks on Australia, and when it comes down to it, I would basically have to not go to anything else during the year and just go to Australia. Australia is a year in advance at minimum notice, because I would have to save out of every check for a year. That would just be to play the plane ticket, because that shit's expensive. Yeah. Like,
dude, we've wanted to go to Australia too, because I mean, Sydney is literally Sydney, you know, our my little sister, and she wants to go to Sydney. However, that's the same year as the draft, the NBA draft, I mean, the NFL draft in Green Bay, which she's also planning on going to, and she's also going on the Jericho cruise. No chance in hell we can make that happen.
Australia, man, it's so funny. Australia is less of a trip than Japan, but Japan costs $1,000 less than ticket price.
That's crazy.
And the only thing I can think of is more people go to Japan. It's just a more going to Tokyo is a more common trip. I don't know, but it just seems like it's further to, you know, to go to Japan than Australia, but whatever. I saw that. I'm excited. Sir Sam, one of our colleagues at Social Suplex, runs the AEW Match Guide. There's a chance that he gets to watch a live AEW show. I learned from our Sam this, like, over the last 6 months, maybe. I had no idea how big Australia was, right? Because, you look at a map, it's just an island, right? And geography was never my thing. So he's like, dude, this shit's as big as New York. From one edge to the other, it's like New York to Los Angeles. And I'm like, oh. Because, like, literally, I thought Australia was like Hawaii. You know, like, literally. I mean, when I say this, and you think I'm dumb, think I'm whatever. It's more ignorance than dumb. I just didn't know. It was just like how massive that place is. And I mean, like,
right.
I will go there one day. I will not be there for the first AEW show there.
Exactly. Same. So that's huge for Australian AEW fans. Tony Khan also said that running TV and pay-per-view in the UK, specifically in England, next year is on the table. In regards to that, too, he said basically there are legalities with their domestic TV distribution, which prevented them from airing AEW live in the UK when they had Dynamite in Wales. So they are working on getting TV and pay-per-view ran in the UK, in England specifically, next year. That's one big thing.
Because what they would have to do is they would have to, like, it started at 7, just like it does here. That is 2 o'clock your time, 1 o'clock central time, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Yes. No one's going to watch the show. The ratings are going to be, everybody's at work. The ratings are going to be, like, massively low.
Right.
So your best chance is to play. Like, I have a group called The Club that, you know, I'm a part of in Facebook, just friends to talk about wrestling. And I was like, I'll be at the show now. And he's like, the show's pre-recorded. And I'm like, yeah, it's in London. Yeah, so it's pre-recorded. He's like, I don't want to watch. He's like, I don't like watching pre-taped shows. I've never even wrapped my head around that because most of my life, shows were pre-taped. So, like, you know, everything having to be live is new. So I didn't even know that, you know, that was a way people thought. But, hey, definitely watch it. I don't know how they would do it live. I honestly, like, the pre-tapes. And I will throw something in here as another thing people not think about. UK crowds are crazy. They're amazing.
Yes.
Right? There is that positive of it, of them being the most electric crowd, then there's a negative. When they don't like something, they will fucking hijack your show. So you do need that time in post-production to pretty much edit it the way so, you know, the people at home can hear the show. Because there were some times they were so loud, the people in the ring were cutting the promo, you couldn't hear them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's a balance there. I mean, I freaking loved it. I think Cardiff in that arena should be a permanent stop for AEW every year when they go to the UK.
We would love that.
But that being said, it's also like I said, it's a double-edged sword. They get rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they do. Tony also confirmed that the Von Erichs are going to be in London. Shout out to the Von Erichs, so they'll be in London. I'm sure they'll have some sort of appearance for London.
Yeah, there's only 1 0-hour match, right? There's gonna at least be 3. I mean, if you're just going by the history of All In and pay-per-views in general, there's one announced there's gonna be 3. So Keep your eye out on the AEW Twitter and Instagram. They're going to announce more. They're going to get more people on the show. And it's like they've put so much time into the Von Erichs and Dustin Rhodes. I don't see how they're not on the show.
Yeah. We then had Tony Khan say he spent time in Paris with the WBD executive team, Warner Brothers Discovery. He said their relationship has, quote, never been stronger. He'd rather not talk about the negotiating window and speaking with outside networks. So he didn't get into details, obviously, about the rights renewal or anything like that, but that their relationship has, quote, never been stronger. And WBD apparently offered another deal to AEW in this recent week for their rights renewal, which was apparently double what their current one is what I heard the reports saying. Obviously, everything's still up in the air with that. But Tony's been teasing about huge announcements. But I mean, like,
we've heard it's double. Yeah, we've heard it's double what they're currently making, and it would make it would put AEW clearly in the black, like clearly profitable.
Yes, which at this point, that's really all that matters,
dude. A company 5 years old, a startup becoming profitable on its own in 5 years is almost unheard of. So
it's crazy. It's not, especially in wrestling.
Yeah, and like wrestling, most companies are going out of business this quick, or at least changed owners. So this is great. I like it. Like I said, we always talk about this as a fan. This isn't like we're not media reporting. We want the long term deal. We want the big money deal just for the security of AEW. We want to end the conversations of AEW's. They're in the mud, and we want to get rid of that. They're going out of business. All In was their peak.
Whatever you say.
And
whatever
every time they say something, was AEW's peak, they hit another peak. Well, that's their peak now.
Keep telling yourself that.
As I say, when your owner has $1 billion, you really don't have a peak. I'm just saying.
There you go. Then we had Tony Khan comment on the Mariah May storyline specifically. So he reached out to Mariah May after Double or Nothing 2023 to come into AEW. He said they had the idea for the story, and Tony Storm and Mariah May, he says, is one of his favorite stories that he's had the chance to work on. He put over RJ City big time for the work that he's put in producing the story. Shout out to RJ City, first of all. And I would absolutely 1,000% agree with that. Tony Storm and Mariah May has been, quite frankly, my favorite thing to watch every week when AEW's on. That being said, there was another thing that came out from Mariah May, and it was in regards to her kissing Mina Shirakawa on Dynamite. And she said basically in a podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, she said, quote, it was not pitched. We just did it. Mina and I are extremely close. We've always been close in Stardom. We just did it. The next time around, they were like, hey, can you guys stop kissing? And she goes, it's my choice who I kiss. It's my choice what I do. If I'm not comfortable doing something, I would always say so. I remember seeing, you know, the usual suspects being like, oh my God, this is setting women's wrestling back so much. We chose to do it. That's just how we show affection to each other. And we have always had, and we always have in our friendship. The numbers don't lie. I think myself, Tony and Mina got the best rated segments for about 8 weeks in a row, and as we should.
Shock.
Tony?
Shock. Wrestling fans are horny. I'm shocked by this.
Yes. Well, first of all, that is a... can't believe it. Second of all, Tony, you've been winning Booker of the Year a lot recently with Wrestling Observer Awards. I will have that award revoked from you if you tell Mariah to stop kissing Mina Shirakawa or whoever the fuck she wants to kiss. Don't you dare do that. You were Booker of the Year for multiple years in a row. I will take that award away from you if you take that from me. You hear me? Don't even think about it.
Austin's coming for you. You know,
don't even think about it. But yes, big shout out again to Tony Storm and Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa. That whole storyline that we've had has been spectacular, and it deserves the respect that it's gotten because it's been incredibly entertaining, and those girls have busted their asses off. And in a world where we have obviously Mercedes Moné being there, and obviously she's stepped right into that front of the AEW women's division, these girls have been killing it as well. And there's like three women's matches, I believe, that we have on All In London. We have Yeah, like three women, like women matches in the show, basically, including the tag match, the mixed tag match that we're having on Zero Hour. That's unheard of for AEW.
And I gotta say this. I'm be greedy. I'm gonna be greedy a little bit. Fans never satisfied, right?
Yes.
And my fans never satisfied. We got a men's casino gauntlet match.
Gauntlet match. Where's the women's one?
Ayo, I needs to know. Let's go.
Give it to us for All Out, at least.
Dude. Okay, so that's how you get everyone on the card. You know what I mean?
Even if you
do it in the Zero Hour, I mean, that gives it to you for All Out for 2 weeks from now. Maybe they give it to you at All Out to set up for the New York show. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but the New York show, Arthur Ashe, the Grand Slam. I was like, I know where it's at. I know what city it's in. Why can't I think of the name? So Grand Slam, maybe they give it to us for then, but I'm just saying. You got the men's one, need the women's.
Absolutely. And then he quickly made a comment about, they were asked about Ricky Starks. He said he's still currently under contract. I know he's been linked at WWE for the longest time. That was, I think, the only real thing that he said about that.
I made the joke in our group. He's going to debut for WWE, and his name is going to be Ricky Shay. And they're going to be like, look, Shay. I told you we was going to sign Ricky Shay.
I love that. That would be amazing.
Yeah, Ricky Shay.
Yeah. Well, and again, I love Ricky Stark. So whatever he chooses to do, man, like I'll see how he does, too, because I would love to see Ricky Starks get some time to shine.
I'm doing the pose right now because I'm all about Ricky Starks. I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't pretend to know his personality, you know, but he just seems like he's very clear on what he wants and what he wants to be in pro wrestling and what he wants to be presented. And I hope he finds that. That's the big thing with us as a show. We are AEW guys. Mm-hmm. We are pro AEW, but we are not anti WWE.
Yeah.
You know, there's
a
difference.
We're not anti wrestlers. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I tell people, there's a difference between being pro-WWE, pro-AEW and being anti-WWE.
Yes.
You go to WWE, I want you to succeed. Can we get a Ricky and Cody main event at WrestleMania? I want him to reach every goal that he wants to because he has entertained me for a while. He's a wrestler. I want him to be entertaining. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be like, oh, you're leaving AEW, I hate you. Oh, no, like, dude, no. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. People switch jobs. People switch teams. Now, I can tell you, I am the exact opposite way in the NFL, NBA, or any of the other sports I follow. Once you leave my team, fuck you.
Yes, you might as well be dead.
You might as well be dead. Snead is a Tennessee Titan. Fuck him. I hope he gets beat every time on every pass. But in wrestling, it's a little different. You know,
it's different.
You're going from one TV show to another. I can deal with that. But yeah, competitive sports, yeah. You leave Florida State, you transfer out of Florida State. I'm not gonna say die, but I don't wish you well.
Oh yeah. So real quick now, we'll go ahead and before we get to Cardiff Dynamite, we have to talk about Collision that just took place this past weekend as well. Because I mean, Floyd got the biggest bear hug I've ever seen from his boy Cash Wheeler, who just ran up on him in the main event of Collision, gave that man a fucking mega hug. I gotta hear Floyd's story on this.
Dude, there is no story. I was in the first row. My friend Rusty came with me that day. Dax kind of pointed at me, you know, like when he came out, and Cash came over, and it was funny because there was three people by us. He kind of gave them fives, and he looks up, and he sees me, and I just kind of point at him because I'm like, dude, you know, you're at work, you know, whatever. And he comes up to me like, boom, big hug. I was like.
And he's like, sup, Floyd?
Oh, yeah, sup, Floyd. And I was like, the cast will just give me a hug and say my name on TV? Huh, that's a thing.
Dead center of the camera, too, on air when it happened.
I was like, huh, that's a thing that just happened. I don't ask for that kind of stuff. Dude, I always say this. They're nice to me. That's it. They are. I am a huge fan of them. They are the favorite. My favorite tag team ever. Them and the Young Bucks. I know you don't like to hear that second part. They're my favorite tag team ever. So I love them. And I always say this. The FTR Express started as literally an ode to them and their favorite tag team, the Midnight Express. And then it has kind of transformed, migrated, evolved. Yeah, evolved would be the best word, into this thing where it's like, dude, the FTR Express is because I literally travel all over the world to see them. Right. You know, like I got the vehicle I'm in, the plane I'm in, that's the FTR Express for that time. And it's just like, but so when he did it, I was just like, dude, it was amazing. And the match was amazing. And, you know, they wrestled the Young Bucks right in front of me. It's like, dude, yeah, it was a great moment.
It was your boys.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
Dude, it was awesome. We got so gassed when we saw that, too, because I was just like, Floyd's got to be, like, shouting them out and all that kind of stuff.
Dude,
and then I just see I see him come right towards your side, and then you just, boom.
Yeah,
I was
big,
like,
old bear hug.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, big old bear hug. And, like, yeah, that's what people always say that. I was like, you know, I try to be, the one thing I do is I just always, as a fan, I'll tell anybody this, be what you think normal is. Like, because I've always, like, if they don't get to see me at a show, it's not that big a deal to me. Because they're working. Right. You know what I mean? They're working. I'm enjoying it.
No.
I'm going to enjoy it as long as I get to see them and get to see, you know, all of wrestling, of course. But when I get to see them, that makes me happy. And it's like, hey, when they get me and they shout it out. And then it was like Dax, after the show, they did this thing. And Dax was like, it was like 10 people in between us. And he's like, I love you. We love you so much. And I was just like, huh, I love
you
too.
Dude, I remember when I told them when they came to Detroit, I was just like, man, you know, we're like, we love you guys. But like, you know, our boy Floyd, like, he loves you guys. And I was like, and then I think their handler goes like, oh, yeah, everybody knows and loves Floyd. Everyone knows him.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. I was like, see you Wednesday. He's like, you'll be there Wednesday. I was like, I'll be there Wednesday. And he was like, it was funny because it was almost like he was as excited as I was that I was going to be there
Let's
Wednesday.
Fucking go.
Yeah.
Dude, I love that. Like I said, FTR, they are the greatest. And yes. We love the relationship you guys have because it's amazing.
I will tell anyone this. Anyone that thinks they know who FTR is based on social media, the internet, blah, 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 whatever you heard, go meet them in person.
I would echo that as well.
I've never heard of anyone having a negative. And everyone I know that didn't like them meets them, says hi to them, and generally they come away like, okay, I root for FTR now. That's how it goes every time. And it's just like...
Yes.
Like, dude, that's how we do.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple other things we do need to mention on Collision from this past weekend. One, we have brand new Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. The Spanish God, Sammy Guevara, is a champion once again. He wins the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship with the Natural Dustin Rhodes, who is now a double champion in Ring of Honor, with him still being the six-man tag team champion. So shouts out to Dustin and Sammy. A random Frankenstein tag team, and Sammy's only been back recently for just a short bit, but they beat the Undisputed Kingdom to win the Ring of Honor tag titles. So.
I was jokingly calling them the New Texas Outlaws, like when they first decided they were going to wrestle. And then I found out there's actually a tag team training under Dustin, who is the nephews of Dustin, that are going by the New Texas Outlaws. It was so weird.
That's amazing.
And so, like, they can't have that name, but, you know, Dustin has this thing about becoming tag team champions with Cubans. Just if you don't know, Cody is part Cuban, and Sammy is half Cuban. So yeah, he's like, hey, that's how he rolls. The Spanish God, Sammy's looking good. He's been rocking the suit, the super tight snug suit, and now he's got a title. And this is what I've been yelling from the mountaintops that they should be doing with ROH. If you have a star and you don't have anything for him in AEW, use him on ROH. Why not? You know right. what I mean?
I mean, it's what they've been doing with Athena. She's been so incredible in Ring of Honor that she should be on the main roster. There's just no spots right now.
Dude.
So let her continue to reign the women's division of Ring of Honor with an iron fist.
Dude, I'd say this right now. I'm like, dude, it's time. She is doing a great job in the Ring of Honor as the forever champ.
Yeah, it's time for her to come up.
It's time for her to come up. And if they end up doing that casino gauntlet match, whenever they do it, she should win it. Because her first match should be a title match. She has been a two champion too long to have to earn her way up. She has earned it. She has been carrying that company.
Yes.
She is the main champion of that company. It's not Mark Briscoe. All respect to Mark Briscoe and the conglomeration. The main champion, the flagship of Ring of Honor is Athena.
Yes, because she's given her all to Ring of Honor, whereas Mark Briscoe's still in between. You know,
her
all is Ring of Honor.
And this is the whole thing. She carries it, and she carries Ring of Honor. She's on the show every week. She has a storyline that's been running for years. Like I said, this has nothing to do with how I feel about Mark Briscoe, because Mark Briscoe deserves the world. But Athena Athena is the face of Ring of Honor.
Correct. I agree with that 100%. The last thing we do need to mention on from Collision is that the TNT Championship has once again gone under a new look. It's kind of been its thing where almost every champion has had their own kind of design for the TNT Championship. It's kind of become its own thing where it gets its own kind of look with each wrestler. And the scapegoat, Jack Perry, debuted his brand new TNT Championship. This is all I'll say about the design itself. And I'm gonna preface this with a genuine compliment I have, because a video was posted by Jack to social media of him actually molding and melding and building, not just drawing it out and designing the look of it. He physically made the new title. He took metals out of it and he built it himself. I will tell you right now, that is so cool. The fact that he made it himself, I like a lot. The title looks bland as fuck, and honestly, fits him pretty well, for that matter, is all I'll say about the design itself. Floyd, though, when you got to see the debut of the new TNT title look, what was your reaction?
I was very excited. I love this. AEW World Title, I know Max did the Burberry belt thing, and that's his thing, is that he changes the belt when he gets it. Cool. That's the Max thing. But I think the AEW belt should be the AEW belt pretty much with everyone else, right? It should just be the AEW belt. Mm-hmm. Continental belt, same. The TNT belt, it could be, its thing is that it's personal, right? And I think the idea of it making it more valuable is that it's personal, right? Now, I got to tell you, his design looks like it would fit Darby better than it fits him.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like with the way it's kind of like almost...
Yeah.
Like skull and crossbones kind of look to it. The way that I would want Darby to do it, though, is I would want half of it spray-painted white and half of it spray-painted black.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's a lot of different ways. And another thing, I think they're very much missing a marketing opportunity, because Scorpio had the LA Lakers belt, and I thought that was, to me,
yes.
I own the one that was probably be more associated with Cody and the Brody Lee. But,
which is the red belt back before they switched the belt to black. And
yes.
It was the red one.
Yes, and I bought that one because I associated with Cody, right? But Scorpio Sky's belt has been my favorite. I love the Miro's, don't get me wrong, with the green, but Scorpio Sky, the Lakers, the Kobe, the Black Mamba belt. Dude, why are they not doing that where they're selling like 10 of them for $5,000 like they did with the scissor belt? I think people would.
I don't know, honestly.
I think people would buy them and just kind of, best thing to do is just kind of make them to order. I just think there's money to be made there with that belt. Because I mean, I'm not saying, I would have definitely very much considered Scorpio's belt, because that's been my favorite so far. But
sure.
I like the TNT. I think Adam Copeland should have made it the rated R TNT title. I think he should. I think he should do it. And I think, you know what? Hey, you want the TNT title? What design? What are you bringing it different? If Takeshita ever gets it, you know, do his thing. You know, I want everyone to have their own design because I just think that would make this belt unique. It would make it important. You could see someone valuing that belt more than the world title because when you win that title, you get to make it your own.
It is. Yeah, you truly make it your own. Yeah. The only other comment I will make about the TNT Championship design is that debuting a new title variant less than 2 weeks away from your pay-per-view match where you'll be defending the title doesn't really give me the idea that you're losing that goddamn thing. You know what I mean? That's the only critique I have.
Yes. My whole thing is this. I would have debuted it next week on Dynamite after
right.
He
you
wins.
Beat Darby Allin, and then you
and I say after he wins because now I have no doubt that
he's not losing. He's not losing. Why do you think I've been making the jokes that I have? Taco Bell, Jack Perry, because I knew for a fact he's not losing. And then they made it a coffin match just to piss me off more. Oh, you're gonna beat Darby in his own match? Fuck off. So yeah, I like I said. Him making the belt himself is genuinely really cool, and I will always give props to him for that. It's such a cool idea, and I think it helps fit for him in his ideas and like how he does things. I think it fits him really well. The belt looks bland as fuck, which again, in a sick sort of way, fits Jack Perry because he is also bland as fuck. We will move off of Collision though, we will go ahead and get in. Oh, go ahead. Are you there?
Sorry. It was kind of funny. I double-clicked the mute button. It was funny that that he did the red paint. Dude. For the visual, he should have made it look like he had drained his blood and threw it on the belt.
No. See, here's the problem, though. If Jack actually, you know, again, I give him credit for making the design, but I also still think he's creatively bankrupt, you know, because if you watch his stuff, you can tell. If you genuinely wanted to make this belt, like you said, it looks more like Darby's design than it would Jack Perry's design. If you truly wanted to make this the Jack Perry TNT Championship, easy selection right here. You have the giant TNT faceplate right in the middle. You take the metal part of it out of it, and you make it look like shattered glass.
Oh, real Boom. Glass, Cry Me a River, yeah.
Yes. Right there. I'm saying that as a CM Punk fan. You do that, that's the Jack Perry belt. You look at that and you know it. You know it right there. You don't even have to go all in with the fucking Cry Me a River on the back if you wanted to put that because, you know, again, that's the only way you can get heat. But, again, like I said, if you wanted it to be Jack Perry's design, that's the easiest thing you had to do. Keep the black belt like actual leather with it kind of looking like almost like it was burnt and then have the center be like just almost like see-through glass that he took a hammer to. You can even show him making the belt, seeing the TNT title design and then slamming it with a hammer or a pipe. And then there you go. Jack Perry's TNT championship, real glass. I'll go cry a river, I guess. But no, again, creatively bankrupt. That one would be interesting. He went with the dull design, which, again, does fit him, but it's not a Jack Perry design.
Cry me a river.
Yes.
Oh. He has to come out to that song on Sunday, right?
At some point, but, you know, good luck on the rights for that. JT would cost a pretty penny for that. And, again.
Apparently not more than Final Countdown.
Not more than Final Countdown, because that's a completely different thing. But that being said, though. You do that, though. My favorite JT song is What Goes Around Comes Around. And Mr. Taco Bell himself knows that very well. I'm waiting for the karma to come right back around because it always does. Either way, we'll go into Dynamite now. First of all, Floyd, just from being inside of Cardiff and inside of the Utilita Arena, just talk to me about that energy from there because we could feel it from that building on TV.
So this is a bucket list item, but this is more of a you know, niche bucket list item. Arena show in the UK was very much on my bucket list. The reason being, Raw, SmackDown, every show they have in the UK, it is this tremendous party, exciting atmosphere. You ever watched a football match? You know, me and my Tottenham Hotspurs, dude, nothing could be going on. Like, literally, it could be 20 minutes of the ball just going back and forth. Dude, they sound like they're having the greatest time on earth. Cardiff did not disappoint. I even said, it's one of the best atmospheres I've ever been in. But for them, the people there, just another Wednesday. Just another day. They're like, yeah, the crowds are always like this. I even saw a post like, for all the people giving Cardiff, all UK crowds are like this, okay? I'm like, hey, okay. I'm sorry we're showing your country too much love. Is that the problem? So, I don't really understand why you got to be the hold your horses person. We're showing your country love. We're saying you're the best fans. And like, if you ask anybody, right? Ask anybody. They'll say the UK fans, crowds are the best. UK crowd. My whole life, I wanted to be a part of the UK crowd. Last night I was. They did not disappoint. I got to take my wife. She said she has never been in a building that loud for wrestling. Never been in a building that loud for anything. It was electric. We all got in. Everybody's like talking to everybody. I had like three people come up to me like, hey, I know you from Twitter. You know, I know you from Twitter. I'm like, oh God, you know, and I was like, really excited from that because I just love meeting people. And yeah, if you listen to the show and you see me, come up to me. I am exactly as friendly as advertised. And then like, I want to meet everyone. That's how I work. And you'll meet my wife too, because she'll be with me. So you'll meet Crystal.
Yep.
But no, it was everything. I can't say it was number one, because I was at the original All In, and I still to this day say that was the loudest crowd I've ever been in, the most energetic crowd I've ever been in. Like,
I can agree with that pretty close.
So I was at that original All In, and maybe one day someone will beat it, but I haven't been to the show that beat that. So, but this show,
I will say. All Out 2021 might beat that just for the back-to-back of Danielson and Adam Cole's debut. I don't think I've ever been in a louder.
That was a great show.
So, either way, shout out to Wales again. You guys were on fire. And we're excited to see how Wembley Stadium sounds when All In London takes place. The show opened with a contract signing for the TBS Championship match between the champion, Miss Mercedes Moné, and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. They did some really nice back and forth in this one. Britt talked about how I remember last year's All In where you were hobbled in on crutches just so you could sit in the audience and watch me. And then Mercedes responds with basically, the only reason why these people see themselves in you is because they're losers just like you. You're not going to beat me because you're my biggest fan. This is your dream match. I inspired you to be a role model and a wrestler. You had to get a degree to fall back on. So are you really all in? Because I've been putting women's wrestling on the map. That's all in. You don't have the guts to go in all in like me. Britt then proceeds to go, no, I had the guts, the heart, and the balls because I never had a plan B. I had two plan A's. She called herself the baddest bitch on the block, said how she admired her, wanted to be like her. You walk like her, so girls like me could run. So girls like me could be the first female and the foundation of the company that you're sitting in. And she also proceeded to say, I'm one in one, you're one in four.
Yeah, she's like, she's one of four, and you're one. That was one of the best lines.
That was the best one, honestly, the reference to the four horsewomen.
Yes, he's like, you're one of four. I've always been one of one. And I just like,
absolutely.
I was like, bars.
Huge.
Bars.
Huge.
Bars.
So she said, basically, all the things you did in the past to inspire girls like me, you made a difference. But that person doesn't exist anymore. It's gone because you're a smug, arrogant ass who cares more about being the highest paid professional wrestler than your own legacy. Now, I don't know where that girl is that I fell in love with. you better find her again and fast, because when I win that title on Sunday, that's the girl I want to beat. She then proceeds to be like standing up and like, I agreed to the follow the rules. I'm not going to hit you. There's no physicality between us. She goes to Camille though and goes, but this bitch is getting on my nerves. Mike to the head of Camille. Love that line. Love that line. And then she jumps up and smashes her with the tape, with the microphone, yeah, then jumps off the table and crossbodies through Camille and Mercedes.
Yeah, so
onto the chair.
So let me just say this. She said, I agreed to no physicality. And then she became physical with Mercedes.
Yes. Not with Mercedes. But then again, jumping on
she Camille jumped on top of it.
She didn't agree. She didn't agree to that.
It made me laugh because, like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you did exactly what you said you weren't going to do.
Sure.
I love it.
Absolutely. Great opening segment and a great way to get people hyped even more for this match. Again, huge, huge match we're going to get. I'm so excited for it. It's going to be banger, and the crowd was all hyped up for both of these girls.
Dude, so hype. I didn't watch the
also
show back.
Also, can I also comment too, Mercedes' facial expressions when the crowd tells her to shut the fuck up, she's so like, this is why we love heel Mercedes. The way she just like has the fake smile on and then just has this ugly like stank on her face.
Yes.
When the crowd's telling her to shut the fuck up and she just goes rude.
So did you notice that they started off like they were going to cheer her, right? She fixed that really, really quick.
Oh, yeah.
She fixed it really, really quick.
Yeah. Mercedes, goated level stuff. And again, great opening segment to get the crowd hyped. We then moved on to Chris Jericho, followed by the Bad Apple Brian Keith and the Redwood Big Bill versus Dynamite Kid Tommy Billington. I like the match itself.
Hi guys.
I like the match itself, but I think something that we've really quickly discovered, Cardiff likes Big Bill a lot.
Oh.
A lot.
Oh yeah. I don't know when Big Bill became a star, but Big Bill is a star in Cardiff. If his push was directly connected to how people of Cardiff feel, he would have beat Swerve at the end of the night, because that's how over that man was in the building. Like, he was just, I'm looking at Crystal. I was like, when did Big Bill get this popular? And she's looking at me like, I don't know, because of course she doesn't know. I don't know. And then the guy next to me like, I don't know. I don't know where this comes from. Like, but you think about it. Big Bill, he's 7 foot tall. Can't teach that. Dude's jacked. He has gotten in the best shape, like, ever. And he's maintained that shape for the last few years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen his person, more of his personality come out with being under the learning tree. You've seen more of his personality come out. And he's a good-looking dude. Flat out, good-looking dude. My wife, who is not a fan of the Caucasians, you know, even said, he's a very good-looking man for a white guy. And I was like, I mean, I've always thought he was good-looking, so I was like, ah, co-sign it, whatever. But yeah, so it was like, you see why. Because when you build a professional wrestler, when you're like, oh, who's this marketable guy? They kind of look like Big Bill. You know what I mean? I don't know how it would go over long term for AEW fans, because they like, you know, people that look like, you know, AEW fans generally like a guy that looks like. But there might be something there. You know what I mean? There might be something there. And it's like, now, if Jericho wants to go player coach, you know, player coach where he's more of the manager role, and feature Big Bill, I think there could be something there. He could be Big Bill's MVP and Big Bill as the Bobby Lashley.
I would like that a lot, honestly, because I think it's a better role for Jericho at this point. And also, I think, you know, Big Bill, he's loved this area that he's been working in, and he's been gigging it up every time when he gets to come out for the Learning Tree segments. it's genuinely been so fun. And yeah, seeing Cardiff get that behind Big Bill was pretty damn crazy.
And yeah, and Jericho calling him his Redwood. This is my Redwood. And just that's how he... I wouldn't be totally against it. It's not...
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Something I thought about until I saw the reaction last night, and I was like,
sure.
All right. Big deal.
I'm willing to give it a shot, honestly.
Big deal.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jericho proceeded to get the victory with the Codebreaker to pin Tommy Billington, Dynamite Kid. Hook then comes and comes out after Jericho says, I hope you were watching because I'm going to do the same thing. If you were here, I'd rip you apart branch by branch. Jericho then has Hook come out. Hook comes out and marches right into get into Jericho's face. And Big Bill then ambushes him, choke slams him, and knocks Hook out and basically leaves him lying there. And Jericho has a little bit of a last laugh before their match at All in London. So
yes, absolutely. I enjoyed that whole segment. The idea of Hook just keep coming out alone doesn't make any sense to me. But faces have no friends, and we know this. We know
absolutely.
This.
We then have the AEW Women's World Championship match between Timeless Toni Storm and Soraya with Harley Cameron at ringside. There was some World of Sports stuff actually they did in this match that was very keenly pointed out by people on social media. Some nice transitions and some fun stuff that Toni Storm and Soraya did in this match. So and it was very nice to see.
And I'm going to tell you, you either dug it as the throwback that it was, or you fucking hated it and you hate fun.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I'm like, everybody forgets. Wrestling is great when it's serious. It's great when it has hate and heat. Those are like Joe Lanza from, I always try to give him his credit. Joe Lanza from Voices of Wrestling says it all the time. Hate and heat. That's what drives wrestling. That's great. But sometimes in a match like this where you kind of know who's going to win, why not throw a little fun in there?
Absolutely. Well, and they threw in a lot of fun, too, because as Toni Storm was distracted by Harley Cameron, who jumped on the ring apron, Toni grabs her and kisses her straight on the lips.
Yes.
Soraya then tries to hit Toni Storm, but then she inadvertently hits Harley Cameron. Toni Storm then kisses Soraya and then she hits the Storm Zero, gets the pinfall victory, and that's when Mariah May comes out and knocks her out with a shoe to the head. And again, the great work they've been doing that we've talked about. So again, Tony Khan, these girls want to do this. I need you to stop.
Hey,
and don't try to tell them who they can and cannot kiss.
Hey,
these are grown-ass women. They do what they want. Hey, I support it fully.
Yeah, the crowd supported it fully. Shockingly.
Oh, yeah.
Shockingly. I'm so shocked by this. I was like, oh, my God. People are into two very attractive women kissing. I am shocked.
No way.
No way.
Yes. I mean, fun little match. Had some cool moments in there. And I'm just so fucking excited for Mariah and Tony. I got my Tony and Mariah shirts actually that just showed up alongside my Darby Allin jacket.
Are you gonna cut it down the middle and split it so you got half Tony, half Mariah?
I'm not sure if I will do that yet because I don't want to ruin those shirts. Didn't they have a shirt where they were both on there actually?
I believe so.
Besides the one that has Mariah with her bloodied up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like where
I believe they had a couple shirts
together. I believe
together.
They had a combined shirt, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
if they didn't, I would have been stunned.
Yeah, I was not like, I don't really do the Matt shirts unless they have FTR.
Yeah, they did. It was the Time and Time Again shirt, yeah.
Yeah, but if they did Mariah and, like, because right now I see the Swerve versus Danielson, Jack Perry versus Darby, Will Ospreay versus MJF, and Mercedes versus Britt. If they do a Tony versus Mariah May, I will definitely buy that shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would be heartbroken if they don't have that as an option. You know what I mean? That needs to be there. We then had the conglomeration backstage. And, oh my God, Mark Briscoe is a national treasure. I love this man. And then the amazing work that Kyle O'Reilly did in the promo, too.
Hey, and did you see Willow just standing there? She stood there just perfectly. She was perfect. Perfect. And then, I mean, she can stand
there. She didn't crack at all, as opposed to fucking A, who couldn't hold it together.
Yeah, Willow, perfect 10 standing there, just standing there. She did her job. No, Mark Briscoe, dude, I never knew I needed this type of promo. If someone told me this was a promo someone was going to cut every week or every other week, I'm like, seems like it would get tired of it. Have not got tired of it, not even a bit. I want another one. Like, dude. Proliferation, conglomeration. I'm like, dude, it's just, dude, it seems like, based on how he talks, it seems like it doesn't make sense. But when you break down what he says, everything he says makes sense. And it's awesome. And he's like, oh, we just want to fight. And I'm just like, dude, the voice of the conglomeration, Mark Briscoe.
Absolutely. Then the face to face between the Aerial Assassin Will Ospreay and the AEW American Champion MJF.
He's American.
First off,
made.
First of all, Will Ospreay. Ospreay.
I posted the video. Building
was, yeah, dude. You did. And dude, I can't even imagine how that felt. Live.
Dude, it was insane. You know me. You like, I'm not a big picture taker, video taker during the match. It was in such this awe and electric moment, I literally had to pull my phone out and record it, because that's how much it just captivated me. I was like, I don't know how much this is going to come across on TV. I don't know how much it's going to come across on TV, but I need this to come across. I need people to hear how much they fucking love Will Ospreay, how much this crowd was into it, and I was just like, I just took it in. I just, like, you know, everybody's like, living the moment. Dude, not only do I get to live the moment while it's happening, while I'm recording my phone, my wife has probably caught me watching that video back 4 times today. It was just that amazing of a thing. When I get home on my digital frame, that video is going to come up, because it was just such a moment, such a once in a lifetime, be there, feel it moment. Yes, you can see it on TV, and that's great, and there's nothing wrong with seeing it on TV, but when you're in it, I'm telling you, my blood pressure went up some points. I was probably at a unhealthy level, because that's how they excited they got me there.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they were going crazy. Yes. And this face off had some pretty big time moments in it. MJF talked about how he was able to get these sheep basically to get crazy, and they chanted my name twice as loud as they have ever chanted yours, because I didn't have to be a little cute flip merchant to get the job done. All I had to do, and he does the motion for the kangaroo kick, and then talked about how much he got people going crazy. He said, you know, every metric imaginable, AEW was better off not with a foreign freak from the UK on top, but with an American hero. So he's like, what mess? He said Ospreay said he was going to clean up the mess that MJF made. What mess are you talking about exactly? Like, because if you look at the numbers, like, I didn't make a mess, because it wasn't made when I was here. It was made when I left, because when I left, so did the fans. He said, I was promised, though, you were the golden goose when I was gone. You would hold down the fort. Did you know I came back early from injury? It's because I was begged by top brass in AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery to clean up your mess. Ospreay then proceeds to say, you know, we saw this renegade promotion and then turned on the channel, see you as world champion. We giggled when we were watching. jokes went on too long. You talked about people begging you to show up. I wasn't even employed last year, and Tony Khan got on the phone and called me because Tony Khan said, Will, please put on a good wrestling match because I can't rely on my world champ to do it. He said, you gave everyone every entertainment, but we were meant to be the alternative. It's not about restoring the international championship. That's not what this is only about. It's about restoring the feeling. I am the feeling. And MJF then proceeds to be like, Will, you got one thing right. I don't care about catering to these people. I only care about one thing, which is that we win. Just what we Americans do best. I actually believed Tony Khan when he told me when I was out injured, the company would be safe in your hands. Dude, who the hell are you? Said everyone knows who MJF is. Everyone loves MJF. Analysts, Hall of Famers, legends. They unanimously believe I'm the greatest wrestler. Who told you that you were the best? The fans? These people know nothing about professional wrestling. They cheer a mindless monkey flipping around because they like your matches. You may be the feeling all you want, but I'm the facts. I headlined the biggest show of all time, and I won. When they talk about this generation of pro wrestling, I'll be the ace. You'll be second place. And he said, once again, the only move that you have in the chamber that can beat me, the Tiger Driver, you're not man enough to pull the trigger. He said, I'm the facts. Facts don't care about your feelings. He said, history books can be rewritten and you're in them, but you can't be written, but can't be rewritten how the people feel. Do you even pay attention to the generation? You haven't inspired a single kid to want to do this. The same people who called you a generational talent said, I changed the game forever. Go all over the world. People will say, I'm the best wrestler in the world. Spoke in Japanese too when he talked about going to a place saying, I'm the best in the world. He said, this is why I can't lose. Not in front of my family and my support system, because I know why you don't like me. It took you 4 years to win them over. It took me 4 beats of my music, to which MJF then explodes screaming, they loved me until you showed up and ruined it. And he goes on and on and on, basically being like, then MJF goes and says, before the show tonight, I spent a little time with your wife and that so-called kid of yours, and I got a feeling after the conversation I had with your wife, the next kid she has won't be yours either. Will then quickly kind of looks over to Shivani and asks him, you got Tony Khan in your ear. How much is that fine if I punch MJF right now? And Tony said, £100,000. And Will goes, it's worth it. And he knocks him out. And then they start fighting and brawling. Security gets in, separates them. Then MJF gets the dynamite diamond ring, busts him open, hits a brainbuster, goes for the cover, mockingly counts 1, 2, 3 on Will. And he looks like he's going to hit the Tiger Driver, but the security gets in and gets MJF away. MJF getting the last laugh there on Will Ospreay. What a fucking segment this was. Floyd, I mean, go ahead and get into it.
Dude, 11 out of 10. I mean, like, as far as promo battles go, not, you know, without any history, this is definitely top three that I can remember in AEW. Like, I thought this is how a promo battle is supposed to work. I thought they came out both stronger.
Yes.
I thought they both came out. And I was going to say this earlier, and I'm just going to throw this out there so I don't forget. Earlier was the best I've ever seen Brett on a mic. I wanted to say that because I forgot to say it, but I thought that was the best she was on the mic. I felt this way about Will Ospreay and MJF. Will Ospreay has taken to American professional wrestling like the best wrestler in the world. You would think the best wrestler in the world could, but I had no idea he could. He gets it. He gets the timing. He gets the facial expressions. He gets the delivery, everything. I mean, saying all that about MJF, MJF's a phenom. He's the best on the mic on the world. I truly believe that about MJF. I don't think he can be touched. I think it's him, the Grand Canyon, and then number two, as far as, you know, outside of WWE or whatever. I think MJF is generational. But Will Ospreay held his own. And I don't mean held his own in what he said. Held his own in how he said it. He took advantage of the home field advantage. He delivered every line perfectly. Then the perfect, how much is the fine? 100,000 pounds sterling, 127,000 American. Oh, yeah, I got to do it. And then he did it anyway. That was amazing. That was amazing. And then how he sold that ring shot. And I shout out to all the extras. They sold it well. And MJF was this dick. And this is how America and UK is supposed to be done. We've seen it done before in AEW. It didn't go our way. I'm not going to say it's anybody's fault. It didn't go our way. This has to be done. America has to be the bad guy. That aligns with AEW's audience. That aligns with the UK that you're coming through. America has to be the bad guy. MJF did it. It looks like he just completely went in Cody's wardrobe and stole everything he owned. And yeah, that suit last night, dude, I dare him to put it up to auction. I'm buying it. I couldn't fit it ever. I'm like, you know, quite a bit taller than the man, and I'm quite a bit wider, most important. I couldn't even fit it, but I want that suit. I wouldn't even wear it on 4th of July. I'd just wear it on Tuesday. I'm going to Walmart. What you doing? Oh, let me put on my America suit because I freaking loved it. And I national anthem, Star Spangled Banner. There is going to be an American theme to MJF's entrance. I cannot wait. The fireworks, everything going off. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. I'm so excited for it. I just can't wait, man. I just can't wait for this whole thing to take place. I think it's going to be amazing. We then had Hangman Adam Page was about to leave the building because he had an altercation earlier. And Hangman said, basically, I did what I had to do. I'm in the casino gauntlet now. And if you stand between me and our world champion, I will run you over. And Evil Uno comes by and goes, hey, have you heard that? Page goes, hey, Uno, you know, my old friend, come here. You heard about the casino gauntlet, right? Do you know anyone in the match? And Uno goes, oh, as a matter of fact, I spoke to CD and Evil Uno is in the casino gauntlet. I'm so excited. And Hangman just picking up a steel chair from behind him and nails him in the back with it. And he goes, like I said, I don't care who you are. If you get in my way, I will run you over because there's nothing more than I want in this life than to make his dreams, sort of Strickland, go up in smoke. I will say, that would mean a lot more if Hangman wasn't already a shitty friend to the Dark Order. You know? Dude. Shout out my boy Uno. But yeah. Hangman, you were always a shitty friend to them. Let's not be frank, all right? Let's be frank, just straight up. You were always a shitty friend. So you hitting him with a steel chair is not even out of character, considering how psychopathic you are right now. That's not even a question.
He abandoned them as soon as a better group came along. So
absolutely.
This was the first time I felt like Hangman was truly the bad guy. Like, the first time. Because, like, you know, I always said, Hangman's not the bad guy. Hangman's not the bad guy. I've been yelling that for months. You beat up Evil Uno. You beat up the AEW arcade guy. Come on. Hey. Let's just say, you had wrestled the whole gauntlet match, and Evil Uno came in last, and he was the last person you had to pin. Do you really think you needed to take him out early of all people? Come on. Now, you're just an ass.
Yes. For real. We then had the Continental Championship match. The Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada, the champion, versus Blackpool Combat Club's Claudio Castagnoli. I heard about this match before the taping aired. I heard about when this went live and the match. I'll let Floyd take this one, honestly. You got to see this live.
I was 99% sure before this match started. I had two versions. I said, this is either going to go with the draw. I had that in my mind. Or I was like, he's going to beat him and Mox is going to come back. Because I just thought, you know, Mox versus Okada at All In would have been crazy. But
sure,
they put on a brilliant professional wrestling match. 20 minutes. I mean, draw. They have been using, you know, and I think that happens with every wrestling company. They get an idea and they use it a little too much over in a little period of time. Been using the draw too much. I have no problem with it personally, but I understand the people that do have a problem with it. I'm not a person that if I don't get it, you know, no. I understand people having a problem because they've used it a bit And Claudio, you know, he was in a draw with FTR earlier this year. But yeah, this match was, if this is the appetizer, the main course is going to be perfect. Because, dude, mm-hmm. I am like, I don't throw around star ratings, blah, blah, blah. I don't have a problem with them, you know, but I just don't do it. I would have said this match was a 4, 4.5 in that area, right? So you're saying you're going to give me a full taste of this? It's probably going to go, what, 30, 40 minutes?
Yeah.
The appetizer was great. I can't wait for the main course.
Genuinely. I'm so hyped. Like, because they killed this match. It was awesome. But I know, like you said, the main course is going to be incredible. Match ends in a time limit draw, obviously.
Okada flat out running away. Like, Okada, one of the best wrestlers in the world, literally brought to fear by Claudio Castagnoli, trying to escape the ring. That was a hell of an image. And if you got caught up in the time limit draw aspect of it, you forget the storytelling. Okada has been calling people bitch, giving them rainmakers, and beating everybody for months. Claudio made Okada scared.
Yes. And considering that Okada is the only threatening part of that group, that's saying something because, you know, they killed it. I'm so excited for that main course. The Elite come out, though, and say basically, if you wanted 5 more minutes, that's not going to happen. That's not in its contract. It's only 25 minutes, not 25 minutes. So then they tell them to get out of the ring. Then we transition immediately into the trios match as Darby Allin and FTR come out to beat the crap out of the Elite. And they just start brawling as the match starts. And they flying all over the place. Obviously, my spot of the night is the trio sharpshooter or double sharpshooter and Scorpion death drop.
Angry I couldn't get my phone out.
Yeah.
So angry, dude, I couldn't get my phone out quick enough.
Scorpion Deathlock, yeah. Like, I was like, you better have gotten that picture, man.
Yeah, it's two sharpshooters and a Scorpion Deathlock. They're all the same move.
Double sharpshooters and a Scorpion Deathlock, exactly.
Yeah. All the same move, but all different names. When I saw him set up, I'm in the ring, and I just screamed. I was like, Shatter Machine! And the dude looks at me, and then, boom, Shatter Machine! I was like, I was so pumped up. Like I said, I mean, this is the Bucks. This is, you know, like when you talk about it, you know, you got literally 5 of my favorite wrestlers in AEW in one match. You know, Jack Perry was there too. And and this was a banger trios match. I'm always going to want FTR in the tag team division conversation. I'm going to always want Darby in the title conversation. But if they're ever feeling a little bumped up, bruised up, and they're like, you know what? Let's do the trios to, man, you know, try to, you know, give each other rest. Yeah, I could go with FT Darby all motherfucking day.
Yes. The match ends as Darby, the Shatter Machine hit on Jack Perry, then FTR hits the Power and Glory combo on Matt, and Darby hits the coffin drop to finish it all off, and he pins Matt to win the match for FTR and Darby Allin. The Elite tried to leave, but then the Acclaim come out and they start dissing the Elite, basically saying how the King, basically getting themselves in, reminding them who's going to win the match at All in London.
I have strong feelings on who. I mean, when we talk about the preview, I have strong feelings on who has to win this match Sunday.
Oh yeah, go for it. I will be so excited for it. Because the moment that I saw, I will say, the moment I saw our boys win, I was happy to see them get the victory on Dynamite, and I immediately said the entire Elite is winning come Sunday night. The entire Elite, not a single member of the Elite is going to lose. Not a single member. And it filled me with rage. And then we then have a quick little backstage interview with Will Ospreay, who's bloodied, and Renee tried to interview Ospreay, but then Brian Danielson comes out, and then he just screams to Will, "Do it," insinuating, "Use the Tiger Driver. It doesn't matter. Use it. You have it. Use it." So he gave him the okay. Danielson was the one guy that he did it to that he realized, "I can't do that move anymore." Danielson just told him, "Fucking do it."
Though, you want to talk about how to use an active legend? How they're using Bryan Danielson right now is just perfect.
Yes.
He's literally, there's the two most important angles in AEW right now. The world title angle between Danielson, and of course I'm speaking on the guy's side, Danielson and MJF. Danielson and Swerve, he's definitely a part of that, and he killed it. And then, you know, he's a focus. He's the reason Ospreay wouldn't use it, and they never let you forget it. And then he's like, fuck it. Take that son of a bitch out. Restore the feeling.
There you go. Got me so hyped up. And then we had the final showdown. Swerve Strickland and Bryan Danielson. Nigel McGuinness obviously being the most unbiased mediator you've ever seen.
The Brett O'Brien. Yeah.
the neck break kid?
Yes. Yes.
What a fucking, oh my God.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Swerve just goes on and on and on and on about how he's going to dissect Danielson and saying all the people he's beaten to get here. Hangman Page twice, Jay White, Takeshita, Samoa Joe, Claudio Castagnoli, Christian Cage, and now, and the man who put Bryan Danielson's neck in jeopardy, Will Ospreay. So he just continues to go and say, I can't help but feel disrespected by you, Bryan. You say you're ready for retirement in your interviews. That's a slap in the face because you're trying to take that away from me. You're not taking away that moment from me. I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to be the one that makes sure you're not capable of getting back in the ring after All In. And if by some act of God, your body is revived at All In, maybe you get that itch. You wake up and think you can do it again. Maybe you want to go to an independent show. Go to Mexico. I'm going to find you and beat you down. Maybe it gets to the point where you're feeling a little bit. You sit down with your wife and say, I think I can do it again. Guess where I'm going to be? This man is insinuating, threatening that he might break into another man's house to beat somebody down. Danielson comes out and sprints down Busaiku Knee to Swerve Strickland, and Danielson proceeds to say, maybe you're confused. Maybe a lot of people are confused because I don't come out here for 20 minutes to talk about myself because I know the truth and I know who I am. A lot of people around here say it, but it's the truth, and you know it, and I know it. I'm the best fucking wrestler in the world. I've been that for the last 20 years. So if you say you're going to beat me in front of my daughter, Wembley Stadium, in front of the fans who have paid to see me for the last 25 years, for my peers who I've traveled the road with, and for my family, my wife, my son, my daughter, for you, who said you were going to cripple me, you're going to have to damn near kill me because I'm going to leave my soul in this ring. Electric work from both guys. Electric work. And dude, this show feels huge. This show feels so fucking huge.
Dude, it is. It is huge. I can honestly say this. Till about 2 weeks ago, I was not feeling Swerve and Danielson. I'm all about Swerve. Just wasn't feeling the rivalry. I wanted Swerve and Hangman to main event All In. That was my personal choice. I thought you should go with the hottest feud you got in the chamber. Man, they have corrected course over the last 2 weeks. Man, they have gotten me excited for this match. Let's fucking go. This is the Bryan Danielson I wanted to see. I liked. It was funny because I was like, man, why aren't they letting him loose? The way they did it. So that this feud is peaking right as we go into All In was perfect. It was perfectly done. Shout out to everybody because, you know, I always say this. I was the guy that didn't want the Chiefs to draft Patrick Mahomes, right? I always say that's my I know nothing moment, right? And when it comes to sports. Now, when it comes to wrestling, this whole Bryan Danielson sort of thing, this was another of many I know nothing moments. They know what the fuck they're doing. This is perfectly hot. The main event of your top match on your biggest show is the hottest thing right now in your company.
Yeah, dude, it's incredible. And I'm so hyped for it. We're going to go ahead and we're just going to get right in to our All In preview. First of all, the only thing I'm going to mention, because we have Rampage, so I want to real quickly say what we have for Rampage. For Rampage, we've got the Conglomeration versus Brian Cage, Johnny TV, and the Beast Mortos. We have the Von Erichs taking on the Outrunners. Shout out to those guys. Iron Savages versus Gates of Agony. Robin Renegade versus Mina Shirakawa. We love that. Roderick Strong versus Fuego del Sol. And that's what we have for Rampage. For Collision, we have one thing I think that was only announced, and it was the fact that we're going to have the trios match between Top Flight and Lio Rush versus Pac, Wheeler Yuta, and Claudio Castagnoli. It's a wild card match for the Cardiff Trios match, where basically the winner of the match will get the final spot for the London Ladders four-way that'll be taking place at All In.
So. All right, and I got a few more matches because I was at the show. We had Hulk versus the Redwood Big Bill. We had, Jeff Jarrett versus Arya Davari. Jeff Jarrett is a god in England. We had Chris Statlander and Stokely versus, it was Nina Samuels and, what was his name? Junior. It was a luchador from in England.
Ah.
We had Shibata versus Jay Lethal and Willow versus Harley Hamry.
All right. So that's everything that'll be airing on Rampage tomorrow and then or Friday and Collision on Saturday. Let's get into it now. We're previewing All In London, giving our predictions.
Yeah. So I put the list on there, but you should probably start at the bottom and go up.
I'm starting from the bottom, exactly. Yes. And of course, we're still waiting for – there's probably going to be more because, again, we have 1-0 hour match?
Yes.
There's going to be more. There's going to be more. 1,000%.
And I am absolutely going to spoil who won the six-man match. So I'm preparing that for you. I don't think that's going to break anybody's heart, but yes. I am going to throw that out there right now. I already know who won, so when we're doing our predictions, we're going to do it based on who won. So, yeah.
Exactly. All right. We have in 0 hour, Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway versus Willow Nightingale and Tomohiro Ishii.
I think this match ends with, Ishii brainbustering Stokely Hathaway.
Oh, and that's how the win happens? I think that'd be big time for...
Yeah, I just that's just going to be a huge loud. Because
Willow gets
pop.
A little bit of heat back for her taking the loss to Chris.
Yeah, and I think Willow's going to pick something like super silly, And when I say super silly, I mean like they might do like a street fight, like something really over the top, where they're both going to bleed.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm excited. I'd be excited for that, but I will also go with Willow and Ishii. We have. The London four-way for the trios titles, the AEW trios titles.
And here's where the spoiler comes. Okay. Yep.
The Patriarchy, the Champions versus the Bang Bang Gang, the House of Black, and...
Pac, Claudio, and Willow Yuta, which I guess that means we're not getting Okada versus Claudio Ren back at All In. But so it's Pac, Claudio, and Willow Yuta. And what I took from this... As a fan, no side insider information, that just 100% moves the Lucha Bros are gone.
Oh, they're gone. Yeah, they are gone.
Yeah.
I will say, at this point, I'm just happy Pac's on the show. Because this man literally got robbed out of a title match for the All In London. So I'm just happy he's on the fucking show.
Yeah, but it's like, I thought it was going to be the Death Triangle. I literally called it to every friend I knew, the Death Triangle. I thought they were going to give the Lucha Bros like their swan song. They could give them that last match to say goodbye. But yeah, if they're not on this show, I think they're gone.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, maybe
thanks for the memories.
So 2+2 might not equal 4. I might be coming out of nowhere from that. But it just seems like this random trio... I'm like, let's get Pac on the card. Absolutely. Pac deserves to be on the card. But, I mean, he has literally been the Trios champions with two other guys that are still under contract. I'm putting them up in my air quotes.
But in terms of the match, I'm personally pulling for House of Black to win this whole thing. But I think Patriarchy may retain. But I'm going to go with House of Black for my
always in that forever. I'm hoping Jay White comes back. Guns up, and the Bang Bang Gang gets their titles back.
All right. So he's going Bang Bang Gang. I'm going House of Black, so new champions there. Hook versus Chris Jericho for the FTW Championship. If Hook loses, he cannot challenge Chris Jericho again for the title. Hook wins. I don't care how UK feels. Hook wins.
And I truly think we're going to see maybe the last Taz mission ever. I think Taz is going to get involved.
Ooh.
And maybe I'm wrong. I know he has two bad shoulders, all that stuff. But he could throw somebody in the Taz mission, drop down. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's going to like be out there throwing a Hurricane Rana.
Sure.
But I think it'll be just that moment where Hook needs that last little bit of help and Taz throws on the Taz mission. Taz get their Wembley moment.
We'd love that. Jack Perry versus Darby Allin for the TNT Championship. I've already told you Jack's winning this.
Yes,
it's a coffin match. He's going to win in Darby's own match.
And
I'm going to
I truly think Okada's going to play a big part in this happening. Because you don't have Okada in the chamber and not use him.
I think that's very true. but it's going to piss me off. And there's nothing I can do about it. So moving on. Casino Gauntlet match. Of course, the winner will get a AEW World Championship match. Do we have the name?
No.
At least
no. No. Only thing, I think we know Hangman.
We knew
Evil Uno.
Evil Uno.
Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Briscoe, and Orange Cassidy.
I think that's it.
But I do have a person I 100% think is going to win. John Moxley.
There
and
it
I
is.
Think we get John
there
Moxley. I think John Moxley will end up being the main event of All Out.
I would think that has to be the case because Moxley winning and coming back, I think, would be a mega, mega moment. And I will go with your thoughts exactly.
Yeah.
John Moxley.
And believe me, no one's online saying this. I've not seen that online. Have you seen anyone say that?
Not a ton. No, I have not seen it.
Yeah, I have not seen anyone say it. So I am not stealing anyone's idea. So if someone you saw it somewhere first, hey, tip my hat to that person. We think the same. But I think it's going to be a returning John Moxley. That music is going to hit. And I think the final, like, he'll end up pinning, like, Orange Cassidy or somebody like that.
Yeah. We then have the AEW World Tag Team Championship match, the trios match between, I mean, the six-team match between the three-way match, I should say. The Young Bucks, FTR, the Acclaimed, they're going to keep it on the Bucks, and I'm going to hate it as well.
Yeah.
Just put those two matches back-to-back so I can get them over with quickly, and I can just be stewing in my own anger.
So there's a what they should do and what they will do thing. What they will do, I believe, is what you said, the Young Bucks win. What they should do is the Acclaimed. I think the Acclaimed has gotten their fire back. I thought I agreed with a lot of people that they are still at. But with their promos and Anthony Bowen's fire, and you like, everybody's like, well, you can use this time to reestablish FTR as the tag team champs. They're my favorite tag team. I would pop for it. They won last year. They'd be 2-0 at All In. I'd be excited. You could go with the Young Bucks, you know, in the EVP story. Hey, they all still have titles. Again, that makes sense. I get it. Whatever. Or you can make a tag team. Or you can establish the Acclaimed on the same level as the Young Bucks and FTR. How do you establish the Acclaimed on the same level as the Young Bucks and FTR? They beat them both. And I would even go the further level. And hey, everyone can agree with me, but I like the extreme. The visual of both Max and both Bowens pinning a member of FTR and pinning a member of the Young Bucks to get the dominant 1-2-3, the Acclaimed as your new tag team champions. That's what I would do, but it's probably going to be the Young Bucks.
And again, look at us thinking it'd be good things, you know.
You're like,
the worst option imaginable.
I'm like, you should make the Acclaimed. I feel like the fans are ready to go after the Acclaimed. I don't think it hurts the other two teams to lose in a trios match at all. But
yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Toni Storm versus Mariah May for the AEW Women's World Championship. This one I feel like could go either way.
Dude, I'm so frozen. On the prediction.
I know. I like. This is why I've been so gassed. I have no fucking idea.
But
I have no clue.
I don't think you do a year-long storyline to keep the title on one person.
I agree. I think Mariah needs to actively step into that star role. I think she needs to truly live up to what she's been trying, the long con that she's had, the how close she's been to that world title, yet she's never had it, and she's been biding her time. I feel like it has to be Mariah. But it could absolutely still be Tony. And again, I wouldn't be too mad about it necessarily. But man, how big this would be for Mariah.
Yeah, and then, you know, Mina's going to have something to do with it. And I think Mina sides with Mariah, and they do their little faction group that they did in Stardom with Mariah as the champion. And it's in the UK. You know, Tony can win it back if they do the show in Australia.
Australia, yeah, there you go. I think that's fair as well. We have MJF versus Will Ospreay for the American Championship. Will motherfucking Ospreay
with the Tiger Driver. I mean, this is the most predictable match, and it's going to be the most satisfying conclusion. Will Ospreay with the Tiger Driver. They've literally been telling you for a month how this match was going to end. Since the end of MJF beating Will Ospreay, they've told you exactly how this match was going to end.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's Ospreay, 1,000%.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mercedes Moné.
That just comes from watching it. That wasn't even
context
a prediction.
Clues.
That isn't even a prediction. They have flat out told you how this match is going to end.
Exactly. Mercedes Moné versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, for the TBS Championship. Another one where I could see it going either way, honestly.
I'm calling it. I'm thinking Jamie comes out to take out Jamie Hayter, makes her in-ring debut. Comes out to take out Camille. She comes out to take out Camille, but Mercedes still gets the win. So I think Mercedes still wins. I, of course, want Britt to win at All In because literally I don't think she ever has. I think she was in a four-way at both All Ins and lost them both. So I would love for her to win this match. I would go crazy. But yeah, she ain't winning.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mercedes Moné as well. A Jamie Hayter return would be massive.
Dude, I even said it. You know, I had this thought. Jamie comes back, right? Because she was the AEW World Champion, not the TBS Champion. She comes back and turns on Britt Baker and joins Mercedes.
I thought about that, too.
I think she's going to come back. Either way, I think she's coming back. I just don't know whose side she's going to be on. But either way, I think Mercedes is going to win.
Yes. And then finally, Swerve Strickland versus Bryan Danielson. Title versus career, AEW World Championship match. Danielson's career on the line. And it's going to be Danielson.
I want it to be Swerve. I want Swerve to have a Athena-type run as the forever champ, but it's going to be Danielson. I just think all the context clues, everything is there. We've been saying it since they announced that he will never wrestle again. Bryan Danielson has been very open about that he's never going to retire. So
and he also loves lying so much.
Yeah, so yeah, I think he just loses. I think he loses the Swerve. And there you go.
There you go. That is everything we have for All In London.
I mean, he beat Swerve. I said it the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly. That is all we have, though, for AEW All In London, our preview. There's one piece of news, though, we want to talk about last before we close things out on the show. Floyd,
yes,
go ahead and let everyone know.
I say this sarcastically. A trade has been announced. AEW has traded the rights to Ricky Starks. No, I'm just kidding. No, that was a complete joke. Absolutely joke. Looks like AEW announced a multi-year deal with the man Trevor Mann, a.k.a. Ricochet.
Pretty AKA Ricky. A.k.a. Prince Puma.
Pretty Ricky, what they call him. Yeah, Ricochet. Looks like he's coming home to AEW. Like, literally since the AEW.
We're going to have Will Ospreay and Ricochet on the same roster.
Ever since AEW was announced. I mean, when we did our five wrestlers, like at the beginning of the show that you want to see go from WWE to AEW, FTR was one, Ricochet was five. there is no better pairing. The only place Ricochet is going to be allowed to be Ricochet in his full form, not some watered down version of Ricochet, is AEW. The only place he's going to be able to not have to worry about, you know, cutting amazing promos and just be the wrestler that he's been for the last 15 years that I've been hearing about him. Yeah, AEW. I mean, he's coming home, you know. For a man that has never wrestled for the company, he's coming home. He's coming where he's supposed to be. He's coming where he's going to get taken care of. I want to see a Ricochet and Will Ospreay tag team. Then I want to see them hate each other. And hopefully it's a big match at All In next year. But congrats to him. I did the Ricky Starks thing because, you know, it pretty much all reports is that Ricky Starks is on the way out. And I was like, hey, WWE is going to be like, hey, they're going to change Ricky Starks' name to Ricky Shay. So they can say, hey, yeah, man, we signed Ricochet.
We still got Ricochet, guys.
We still signed Ricochet. No, we didn't say Ricochet. We said Ricky Shay. Absolute so Ricky Shay.
But that is our final piece of news as we get into All In London weekend. And I think that's how we can close things out on this episode. Guys, thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you for sticking with us and tuning in every single week. We truly do appreciate it. Shouts out to Floyd for working with me on a time difference, a 5-hour time difference. It's currently almost 10:30 where he is, where it's 5:30 where I am. So yeah. Shouts out to him. And I'm so hyped for you that you're going to be there, man.
Yeah, shout out for Austin for always being ready. I think you got that Matt Cardona juice in you.
Always ready. Always ready.
And the biggest shout in the world. I mean, all the people that love me, you know, they have my back, you know, the Jackies, FTRs, all the people that. But the biggest shout out in the world goes to my favorite companion, my forever road dog, my forever travel partner, my wife, Crystal. Thank her for putting up with my bullshit. That she has a 43-year-old husband that is obsessed with professional wrestling. It's funny, I always say this. I told her that on my first date. That was my baggage. Pro wrestling was my baggage. I told her on the first date, I am obsessed with professional wrestling. 6 months in, she's like, I didn't know it was this bad. And, you know, she could have bounced. She could have, but she's in England with me. Going to Cardiff to watch wrestling shows and going to watch Harry Potter and the Cursed Child with me. I mean, she's my world. She is my world. None of this makes sense. None of this is as fun. I don't enjoy this as much without her. So I literally wanted that on this. I wanted to just record it because she doesn't listen to the show. I mean, this is her being in the room with me while I'm yelling into this microphone. It's probably the most she's ever listened to this show. But everybody knows I talk glowingly about her all the time. But yeah, just record it. So if one day I'm not here, she can come back and watch the end of this and know she meant the world to me. So.
Absolutely. Shouts out to Crystal. And again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to continue to download this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us. Turn automatic downloads on. Leave a rating and a review. Rate, review, subscribe. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Follow us on Twitter at ATLEPod. Follow Social Suplex at Social Suplex. And check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. We will be back next week for our AEW All In London review once Floyd gets back into the United States. And my buddy Floyd will be in Wembley Stadium come Sunday.
Yes.
You can go ahead and you can take us home for this episode of All Things Elite.
I am so excited. I met my friend Simon. I met him at WrestleMania 31. It was the honeymoon of him and his wife, Abigail. We have been to pretty much every WrestleMania since then, and we've always been friends. We always hook up. We always hug. We always talk, you know, whatever. And we've never been to a show together. He is going to All In with me. So that's another first that's happening. So that's going to be amazing. And I'm not going to go on too much longer because I felt like I've already done this. So I will leave you how I always leave you, whether it's home, work, or school. Always do your best to be elite.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.